It's the Kim Munson Show.
The Washington Times said that patriotic Americans donated U.S. flags after protesters raised the Mexican flag over the ICE facility.
Analyzing the most important stories.
It is not fair that people come in illegally and they have three square meals a day, TVs and all. There's something that is wrong with this picture.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
When we get into conversations with people, you can get real bombastic with each other because you haven't read it. You don't know what you're talking about.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
So if you understand the issue, then you can have calm, reasonable conversations.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter that you'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast, and our most recent op-eds. Go over to Facebook and give us a like, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Great show plan for you today. We'll be talking with Bill McCaleb. He is a candidate for Colorado House District 6, Dr. Jill Vecchio in the second segment, and Jay Davidson, founder, CEO, and president of First American State Bank. He is a guest that we always get lots of great comments about, and we'll be talking about the American idea. And as we unpack this, my friends, we look at freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. It is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, freedom, or livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that, producer Steve.
It's always been the case and always will be.
And you can vote yourself into socialism, but it's really difficult to get back out of that.
Yes.
Most definitely. Always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with, and that is Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. I thank you for your great support and your good work, and also to each of you listeners. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You are valued and you are treasured. Our quote for today is from Ralph Waldo Emerson. He went by the name, his middle name Waldo. He was an American essayist, lecturer, philosopher, and poet. And he was born in 1803. He died in 1882. Steve, I'm sure that you've probably have heard this, but he said, "This is my wish for you. Comfort on difficult days, smiles when sadness intrudes, rainbows to follow the clouds, laughter to kiss your lips, sunsets to warm your heart, hugs when spirits sag, beauty for your eyes to see, friendships to brighten your being, faith so that you can believe, confidence for when you doubt, courage to know yourself, patience to accept the truth, love to complete your life." I thought we just needed a little message like that this morning.
It covers the full spectrum of everything that we're feeling and seeing. So,
in these days.
Good job, yes.
Yeah, in these days, I think that we really need to also look for these different quotes of hope. And again, he was born in 1803, died in 1882. These things are timeless for human nature. We face the same things generation after generation, Steve.
Yes, that's why I hand it to you. Every time you go looking for these quotes, you just pull down the perfect, you just meet the moment.
Well, that's for sure. And as we look at what's happening in America today, we realize that elections matter. On the line with me is Bill McCaleb, and he has thrown his hat in the ring. He is running for Colorado House District 6. And Bill McCaleb, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim, for having me. It was such a pleasure to be able to speak with you.
Well, and we've done a podcast together, so people need to check that out so they'll have it's a longer conversation and they'll be able to get to know you a little bit better. Bill McCaleb, these races are so important. We have seen what has happened with these Democrat, I hate to call them representatives because I don't think they're really representing the people, but the Democrats that have been in control of the Colorado State Senate, House, and the governor's office for the 2019-2020 cycle here. And I think we need to make a change. We need a more balanced approach, Bill McCaleb.
Well, with me, that's certainly my focus, to bring more reasonableness and balance to the legislature. I like you, feel like at a minimum, we shouldn't have one particular view of the world being articulated by our legislature. And of course, that's why it's so important this particular cycle to be able to get some more of that balance in the legislature.
Okay, so Bill McCaleb, House District 6, where is that exactly?
So House District 6 encompasses areas, I guess if we started from the south, kind of the Wash Park area, Corey Merrill area, the Hilltop neighborhoods, as well as Cherry Creek, and kind of everything in between in that particular area, kind of up and down both University and Colorado Boulevards.
Well, and why do you think that you are qualified for this job, Bill McCaleb?
So, for me, I'm not a career politician. I spent
well, like that.
I spent a 40-year executive career in business, and frankly, you know, it's kind of you can't change your background. And so I came out of the oil, gas, and energy business, which also included electric power. So
well, let me tell you though, I like it when the lights turn on. I like it when it's cool in the summer, warm in the winter. I like to be able to drive around. I really like affordable, reliable, and efficient energy. So I don't. I know that we apologize for that, but I don't think you should do that because
no.
It's really a good thing.
Yeah, and about the last 20 years of my long career, was spent in the management consulting area where there were a lot of problems, a lot of issues that surrounded not only this industry, but also I was included in some of the mergers and acquisitions, transitions of some pretty major companies. So you end up with all kinds of questions that crop up that aren't necessarily specific to the energy industry. And so it's those sorts of issues that have cropped up and being able to see solutions that other people can't and be able to solve those solutions, frankly, you know, that brings me to some talents that I think are really necessary for effective leadership in the legislature.
Well, most definitely. Solutions, reasonableness, balance, all those things are really great. And Bill McCaleb, I'm recommending that people adopt a candidate. People are wondering what they could do. And so these races are so important. So I'd recommend that people adopt you. And how could they get more information about you so that they can reach out and help you?
So of course, you reach out to me, and it's really easy to do. And I've got a couple of websites. They both go to the same spot. One of them is called Bill Brings It, ITT. It is spelled ITT.com, and then preservingcolorado.com. And if you go to either one of those sites, it ends up going to the same spot. You learn a bit more about me, and you learn, and you have an opportunity to weigh in with respect to. Sending me emails and starting a dialogue and a correspondence. Happy to do that. There's also a spot, of course, for signing up to be volunteers. We walk every weekend and knock on doors, so my knuckles are a little bruised these days. But we're always looking for folks to be able to help in that regard. And of course, you know, this is an expensive endeavor, and so you hate to say. Oh, yeah, I need some money. But, you know, I guess I've heard that any politician worth their salt, will always ask for some money. So,
oh, definitely.
So that's certainly part of supporting getting the message out.
And I would recommend if you can't, help out with door knocking or things like that, maybe $5 a week or $5 a month is really helpful for these candidates. So, again, let's I'll give them one website. That's Bill Brings It, and that's ITT.com. And that's how they can get more information. So, Bill McCaleb, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kim. I certainly appreciate it. And thanks for everybody who's listening. I absolutely enjoy your support. I love hearing what the voters have to say.
Okay. Thanks so much, Bill. And before we go to break, I just want to give a shout out to one of my valued partners, and that is Hooters Restaurants. And these are beautiful Colorado evenings. I would highly recommend that you take advantage of their happy hours. They're Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. They've got TVs with all kinds of sports going on. And for more information, go to order.hooters.com. That's order.hooters.com. And we'll be right back with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
To the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. That way you get first look at all of our upcoming guests as well as our most recent podcasts, Sounding Off with Kim Munson, and our op-eds. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. We would greatly appreciate that. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is my friend, Dr. Jill Vecchio. You know her. She actually read the complete PPACA, the Patient Protection and Unaffordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. So she knows exactly what is in that. But this week, Jill, we're going to change it up just a little bit. It is a Labor Day week. And labor, working hard, the American idea, capitalism. I know that that is something that is near and dear to your heart, Dr. Jill.
Absolutely. After going through medical school and residency, working 120 hours a week, not a lie, 120 hours a week, though, easiest schedule I had was 100 hours a week. Hard work is, yeah, in my blood.
Do you even sleep when you're working 120 hours a week? I mean, how does a person do that?
No, by definition, you're not supposed to. On labor and delivery at the during my residency, they were renovating, making a new labor and delivery area, and they didn't even put in a call room because the residents never slept. So what was the point of putting in a room with a bed?
Yeah.
I can tell you, I never laid down in it. They ended up putting it in anyway, and I was never there. So, yeah.
Why do they do that? I have a relative that has just recently gone through medical school, and that is, it's brutal. I mean, why do they do that? It seems like you would be better if you had a little bit of rest.
Well, you're always better with a little bit of rest, but you miss half the cases. So they always said we had a lot of every other night call or every third night call. And call means that you're there from, say, 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. You round on your patients, and then you go to work on your shift, and then it's overnight, and then you're done at whatever, 7 o'clock, either 7 o'clock the next morning, or you may have to work the whole next day doing surgeries and things so that you go home at 5 or 6 o'clock the next night. So it can be a 36-hour, sometimes my longest was 42 hours of working straight through for 42 hours. And part of it is training yourself to, and believe me, when you're doing a surgery after you've been up for 34 hours, you're still awake. I mean, because you're engaged in a surgery.
Right.
You're not going to fall asleep doing a surgery. So, but it's weird. It messes with your biological clock. Now I can be up at 2 o'clock in the morning and get up and go do something, and it doesn't faze me at all. But you also need to be exposed in a relatively short period of time of just a few years to as much pathology, so to as many patients and situations as possible.
Okay.
And without that amount of work, it's really hard to squeeze in all that experience. But they've also changed everything so much now that overnight call is much more limited. They get more time off. They don't see as many cases. They're not seeing as many patients. It was brutal, absolutely survival rate brutal. I can't imagine anything more intense or stressful short of active combat.
I was just going to say.
I always said that. It was so intense, and you constantly had to perform. You couldn't make a mistake. It was really stressful. But at the same time, I wouldn't have traded it for anything.
Right. And I hadn't really thought about that. So, because, you know, you really can't say in the medical field when somebody's going to come in with this illness or that illness. And so to be working and see all that, then that is the experience that you bring to your practice, that you bring, to your patients. And I hadn't really thought about why that was so intense. And I just thought the same thing. The only other thing I could think would be more intense would be active combat. And once again, you know, I've interviewed some of these guys that were, like at D-Day, and they didn't sleep for several days. And when they finally then let down, you know, they were exhausted. But you can't rest when you're in those kinds of situations. What is happening, though, in healthcare to our doctors? I mean, I feel that they're really being squeezed. I know a lot of them, you can talk to teachers. They are like, I just want to teach. Doctors just want to help patients. But what has been happening in America with more and more bureaucrats getting involved in this? It's making it difficult for people to work hard in their profession and be successful. What's your thoughts on that, Dr. Jill?
Well, it's so true, and it's true in every small business. They're so oppressed by regulations, things that you have to keep track of. And if you don't keep track of them, ignorance is no excuse. So they'll issue, and this is the same with small businesses and farming and every industry that's so overrun with government regulations. They'll issue a regulation, and it's your job to find it. It's your job to figure out that there's a new regulation, and it's your job to figure out how to interpret that regulation. It's your job to figure out how to comply with it and let the government know that you're complying with it. It's ridiculous. You spend so much more of your time doing junk that you have no interest in doing, and it takes up so much of your time and energy
and money
and a lot of money, because you almost always have to hire somebody. If you're any kind of a bigger business, you have to hire somebody to keep track of all this stuff. You have to spend time reading all these journals, being on all these websites for notification of new regulations. And I can tell you that in medicine, Medicare would issue a new regulation, and then we'd call Medicare to say, what does this mean? What do I need to do? And they'd say, you figure it out, submit it, and we'll let you know if you did it right. I'm not kidding. That is their answer, because they don't even know how to interpret it. They don't even know what they want from people. And it's to their benefit to postpone payment as long as possible.
Uh-huh.
So they'd issue a new regulation, and it might take you a year to get paid because of that new regulation.
But your employees, your rent, those things can't wait a year. And so we need to be rolling back these rules and these regulations. That's one of the reasons why this election is such an important election, not only at the top of the ticket, but at all of these different races, whether or not it's on the local level, county level, state level. These are really important elections, and I'm recommending that people vote Republican. They may not love a candidate, but vote Republican and then stay engaged with that candidate and watch what they're doing. We have a civic duty to do that, Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And pay close attention to your candidates. I mean, it is important. It's critical, and I don't think this is being emphasized, certainly not yet, in the RNC convention. So, but what needs to be emphasized is Republicans need to take the House and the Senate and the presidency, and let's give them one more try. Because initially in 2016, Republicans in the House and Senate hated Trump. He didn't have a friend there. They were all working against him. Now, let's see. Now that they're all supposedly on board and riding his coattails, in my opinion, let's see what they can do if you have House, Senate, and presidency again. Let's see what can be accomplished, because Trump has won a whole lot of them over. And I think some amazing things could be done with further deregulation. Let's put the best tools in place for our businesses and our doctors and all Americans to succeed. Too many obstacles have been put up by government agencies and by government officials with the blessing of Congress and presidents and everything else, and it's all stifled our economy. Trump is the only president since Reagan that is willing, that wants to get rid of this stuff, and let's just let America fly. Let us go and see what we can do.
Oh, totally agree with that, Dr. Jill Vecchio. Let's give it a chance. And I see an assault on the middle class, and it's all from these rules, regulations, and all this. Let's give him a chance. What do we have to lose, right? So, Dr. Jill, your final thought.
In order for America to thrive, you need to take the weight off our shoulders, and we can fly. We can go.
We can do that. So, Dr. Jill Vecchio, great talking with you. We will talk with you next week.
Take care.
Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. This is so fun this week. We've been doing all these quotes about the American idea and opportunity and capitalism and hard work. What do you have for us today?
Well, today, Kim, I've got two different ones. The first one is from a gal named Uzo Aduba, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Now, I dug on her, and I think she was like a Broadway actress, and now she's an actress on maybe that show Orange is the New Black or something. I couldn't quite figure it out. She seemed like a very modern type of person to be making so many quotes.
Okay.
So maybe there was somebody else named that. So I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
But I just thought it was a good quote, Kim. She said, "I've heard of nothing coming from nothing, but I've never heard of absolutely nothing coming from hard work." You know, and that is very true. Even if you put in a lot of hard work and you don't achieve the goal you were hoping for, you know, most of the time you still learn something.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time there's still some benefit from having put in the work, you know, to go back and try again if you need to. There's still satisfaction from having tried and failed. And sometimes you need to fail to be able to learn how to succeed.
But you know, Jason, people do watch Hard Work. What is the name of the young man that was at the gas station, the convenience store?
That was Spencer.
Okay. And you know, the first time that you had worked with him, you're like, oh my gosh, he was working the night shift. He was working so hard. Didn't take long, and he was promoted.
That's right. That's right. He sure was, to manager, assistant manager.
So with hard work, you just never know who's watching and what's going to happen. So how about our other quote, Jason?
Well, the other one comes from Stephen King, who actually needs very little introduction. You know, I guess we're continuing the thing of getting good quotes from angry liberals this week, right?
So,
you know, I find King's quote interesting. He says, "Amateurs sit and wait for inspiration. The rest of us just get up and go to work." So, you know, I'm not sure when King said this. It seems like maybe the old King.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he used to say that his writing was the equivalent of a Big Mac and French fries, and that's why Americans loved it so much. He really connected with the, you know, the average person, uh-huh, kind of like the who would be considered a Trumpster.
Uh-huh.
Well, now, these days, every chance he gets, he's insulting Trump, insulting Americans, looking down his nose. And I still do, you know, pick up his new books when they come out. And, boy, he can't wait to take his shots at the conservatives, at Trump himself, at religion. It's just really pervasive throughout his writing. And the writing's not as good anymore either. It's very preachy.
Interesting. You kind of wonder what happened.
Well, you should have stuck with the old thing, Big Mac, French fries. everybody likes that. But again, you know, to say the rest of us just get up and go to work, I mean, that is a good thing. You know, get up and go to work, and a lot of your ills will be taken away from you, I believe.
Well, that is for sure. And so, Jason McBride, now is a great time for people to sit down and do a kind of a temperature check on their portfolios. You're the guy to do that. That phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And we have this great landing page together, Jason. That's AIR, A-I-R, presidential.com. That's AIRpresidential.com. Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Kim.
And we'll be right back with Jay Davidson.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. That's where you get the first look at all of the upcoming guests and our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts and our op-eds. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well, and go over to Facebook and give us a like. We would greatly appreciate that. On the line with me is Jay Davidson. He is the founder, the president, the CEO of First American State Bank, which is a community bank right here in the metro area. He's also a valued partner of the Kim Munson Show. Jay Davidson, welcome to the show.
Well, Kim, thanks for letting me be here. I appreciate all you do.
Well, and right back at you. You know, it's community banks, Jay Davidson, that have really helped people finance their dreams. It's really helped Main Street. It's this big, broad middle class that we have, and it's been community banks that have done that. So thank you for the work that you do every day.
You bet.
So it's Labor Day week, and our theme has really been talking about the American idea, capitalism, opportunity, hard work. So let's start big picture. Your comments, Jay Davidson, on the American idea.
Well, the big picture comments are that America was founded on a very unique principle, unique in all the world, that the concept of individual freedom should drive the government, should drive the Constitution. And the whole idea behind freedom is that you get to make a choice. The government doesn't get to make a choice for you. I take that all the way down to the current quarantine that we're in because of not because of COVID, I don't think, but because of the reaction to COVID, right, wrong, or indifferent. Granted, it's a serious disease, and you got to respect it and take due caution, but making people wear masks, whether they want to or not, making people shut down their businesses, and they certainly don't want to through the quarantine, I think it's an extreme form of coercion on the part of our state government.
Well, one has to ask, as we look at this, is how is it that they're picking winners and losers? How is it they pick what is essential and what isn't? And Jay Davidson, as I'm looking more and more at this policies of the Democrat Party, and this Democrat Party is not the Democrat Party of JFK. This Democrat Party, the veil is off. They're destroying businesses. They're destroying livelihoods. They're destroying property. But it seems to me that it's been a real assault on the middle class. And the middle class is something that's kind of inherently unique about America, is that everyday people, what you mentioned, when they have the liberty to go after their hopes and dreams and create wealth for themselves, we have this big middle class. And these policies look to me like it is an assault on the middle class of America.
I think that's very true. We talk glibly about freedom, but we Americans haven't known anything else, and we're beginning to get an inkling of what it's like to have a tyrannical government, both state and federal. It just amazes me that the mom-and-pop shops are shut down, but Target and Kmart are still running. Who makes that decision, like you said? Well, government bureaucrats make that decision. I ask everybody listening here, is that who you want deciding whether you can make your own money, whether your business should go the way of the doo-doo bird? Is this really what we want? It's what we're getting. And like you said, the Democratic Party, I've respected it in the JFK days. Didn't agree with it necessarily, but respected it because we all had a common goal. The Democratic Party today has left you folks. It's gone. That's why Ronald Reagan left the Democratic Party back in the 60s or 70s and became a Republican. The party left him again. And I think the Democratic Party has gone so far left that sometimes we don't stop and look around. We forget how far left they've gone. We have avowed communists and socialists in the Democratic Party elected to office, national office, making decisions for us. And these decisions are this ridiculousness about shutting down the mom-and-pop shops and letting the great national chains go on. Or another great example, the left is now known to have supported and abetted in their own way the riots that went on, the destruction. Never heard a single word from the media about the pandemic. But some bikers go to South Dakota for their annual trek and enjoy life. And now all I hear on the national news is one person died from COVID. Well, why didn't I hear that when all these rioters got together? The bias is beyond comprehension here. So I'm disappointed that the American public has made a decision to go along with this pseudo safety that the government offers in protection from the coronavirus, when you're not any safer, folks. In fact, you're in a lot more danger than you know, because this government wants control, period.
And when we say this government, I'm peeling Donald Trump out of that. I think he's done a really good job of generally honoring federalism as it is meant to be. And that is, he said to these Democrat-run cities and states, hey, your cities are on fire. They're being destroyed. We can come in and help you, but you have to ask us. He's respected that. Again, regarding these mandated masks. Now, Joe Biden says he's going to mandate masks across the nation. And that just, you have that, but what else is he going to mandate? Where would they stop that, Jay Davidson?
Well, that's a good point, Kim. And, President Trump has his issues. We all admit that. But I would say that I would much prefer a flawed man or woman who is honest with me. And I do think that Trump is honest to his own ideals. And I tend to share the vast majority of his ideals. In his inaugural address, he talked about we the people and, the citizens, the rights of the citizens, the freedom of the citizens. I mean, he nailed it. And to the best of his ability, he's adhered to that concept. And that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about a war of ideas here, and mark my words, this is it's not a shooting war, thank the Almighty, but it is a war nonetheless, and the repercussions of losing this war are extremely serious. So yeah. I would agree with you, Trump should be excluded from my negative comments to some extent. I still don't trust government, period.
No, and that was the way the founders looked at it as well. That's why they put in place all these checks and balances and balance of power. And we've seen over the last, since 1776, this constant encroachment by politicians and bureaucrats to gain more and more power. And you mentioned the COVID-19 Wuhan virus, picking winners and losers. Jay, I just saw something hot off the press that this virus is really, really smart, that it is able to actually tell the difference between, right here in Colorado, between 10:59 p.m. and 11:01. It's able to tell the difference if you're walking into a restaurant or sitting in a restaurant. It's able to tell the difference between rioters and those that destroy property and those that went to Sturgis for the motorcycle rally. It is just so smart, Jay Davidson.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I've seen people driving around with masks in their car, so there's got to be a high-speed virus out there also trying to get them.
I hadn't thought of that
it's
either.
Amazing how smart this thing is.
And so we really have to ask. We need to put on critical thinking. And Jay Davidson, I'm encouraged. I think more and more people are paying attention, and so I'm encouraged on this because, you know, people that were very concerned at the very beginning of this whole thing, and gosh, I mean, what we were seeing on the news was certainly scary. But now a lot of people are connecting the dots and they're going, wait a minute. I'm not sure that you were giving me the straight talk on that. Are you seeing that with any of the people you're talking to?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The first thing that struck me when the pandemic was announced in the early part of this year was that, wow, what is this reaction that I'm hearing, this extreme reaction by government, by the state and federal government, by the media, by the medical industry, is incredible. I begin to realize slowly that it's not the virus itself that's a danger, it's the reaction to the virus by all these people, the overreaction, extreme overreaction. And I'm certainly disappointed that the American public has gone along with things like quarantine and some other things that these people have thought up in order to so-called control the virus. Well, they're not controlling the virus. They're controlling you and me, and we're going along with it like sheep. There's a new article out that the CDC just released that said the number of deaths due to COVID is not 165,000 Americans. It's between 6 and 9,000 Americans. The reason? Well, every death that happened since COVID hit has been ascribed to COVID. Mr. Kelly up in Minneapolis is the so-called reason for all these riots. His cause of death was put down as COVID.
Oh, really?
102-year-old lady died. Well, and she had other complications. She died from COVID. I spoke to some doctors and people in the medical industry here, and they say, well, sure. I mean, you get a COVID death, you get somebody in the hospital due to COVID, you just add on another $38,000 per day to the what they can charge the federal government. So there's a vast conspiracy here, and I'm not putting on my tinfoil cap or anything when I say this. This is an amazing exercise by the left to reduce people's rational, like you say, critical thinking to an emotional puddle. And if you dare say anything about a mask, people jump all over your case, as an example. So there's a high degree of irrationality going around our nation. And I submit that irrationality is being fed for the benefit of the left.
Most definitely on that, Jay Davidson. And so, for example, on this mandatory mask wearing, it's really tyrannical. I read the Governor Polis's executive order on the mandatory mask wearing. And if it was just Governor Polis that was putting that out, I did not wear a mask until that time. But what he did was so insidious. He said, hey, business owner, hey, office building owner, you have to enforce that people are wearing a mask. And if you don't, we will take your license, which means we will take your livelihood. That is so tyrannical. I'm so frustrated about it. So I hate to wear a mask. But yet, on the other hand, I value these businesses. And so what he has done is insidious, Jay Davidson.
Yeah, very well put, Kim. Smart, if you realize that the desire of the left, and Polis is certainly left, is control. It's the only conclusion you can come to. and they'll go to any means they can to gain control. And sure, it was smart of him to go after the businesses, but is this a lawful order? Is this the law, as Polis has said it is? I say, no, it's not. In fact, it's absolutely not a law. It's simply an executive order, and I would say an absolutely illegal executive order. And I'm pleased that certain Republican senators, Mr. Neville, I believe, is one of them, is
or representative in Neville, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Is trying to sue Polis on this issue. Now, is he going to get through our far-left courts? Probably not. But at least he's making the effort. There are some people out here that see the same thing that you and I do.
Well, and it's important that we have these conversations. And that's why we do this show, is so that people can get their brains around these issues. May not always agree with our perspective exactly, but hopefully it helps you think. So, Jay Davidson with First American State Bank, let's go to break. Before we do that, though, I want to give a shout out to another one of my valued partners, and that is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They're located right in Sedalia, Colorado. They're a family-owned business, and they have knives from the best blade makers throughout the world. You need to go out and see the store. It's absolutely fascinating. They have knives for collectors. They have knives for military guys. I remember, you know, many of the paratroopers that I've talked to regarding D-Day, they had quick release shoots when they jumped into France on D-Day, but most of them used their knife to cut themselves out of those shoots. So Castlegate has knives for military, for sportsmen, certainly kitchen knives. Be sure and go to castlegate.com for more information. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter there on the website. On the line with me is Jay Davidson. He is the founder, the CEO, president of First American State Bank, which is a community bank right here in the metro area. Community banks are the banks that have financed American dreams for so many decades. And Jay Davidson, you're a valued partner. Thank you so much. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's an honor to be here with you.
And you and I both engage in the battle of ideas. I think more and more people are paying attention. We talked a bit about the American idea in the first segment that we were chatting on. Opportunity. And people can create their own opportunity with hard work. I think it was Thomas Jefferson that said, "The harder I work, the luckier I get." And Jay Davidson, I know you appreciate hard work. Question, what was your first job?
Oh, that was back in the Middle Ages during the Great Plague of Europe. I was 13 years old and applied for a job at the local hospital as an orderly, which is basically a cleaning crew for sick people. And I was so honored to get that job. I mean, I felt so good about myself. It was an amazing experience, not a pleasant experience by any means. and it certainly taught me what I don't want to do for a living. But, you know, I was being paid 75 cents an hour at age 13. I was wealthy. I mean, I had a couple dollars at the end of the month that I could go spend on a movie theater or something like that. So, yeah, it was hard work, but it was probably one of the best, most defining experiences of my life, that if I was willing to put in the work, the hard work, as you say, I could do what I wanted to do. I could have the freedoms that I wanted, both the economic and also have the freedoms that America afforded me as an individual. I should say not afforded me, but the Constitution recognized as my inherent right as a human being. So the job was unpleasant, as I said, but I sure felt good about myself, and I was making a fortune, $0.75 an hour
for sure. Well, yeah. My first job, Jay Davidson, was at Daylight Donut and Chicken Inn. So when I actually had a date on Friday nights, I smell like chicken and donuts. So, but
right.
You know, I really correlate some real success for people in adulthood to getting that first job at the age of 13 or 14. There's a lot of kids that have not had a first job even after they've graduated from college. So parents out there, I would recommend that, you know, have your kids get a lawn mowing job, have a business. But I really correlate a lot of success with kids that go to work at the age of 13 or 14.
I agree with you. It's just getting that work ethic down, and that's much more important than what you make. And it's so contrary to the current idea that the left has, that they should use government rules to mandate minimum wage. Well, all they're going to do is that the businessman is going to eliminate that $20 an hour minimum wage starter job because he can't afford to pay that for that particular job. And the funny thing is that the left totally ignores the unintended consequences of their actions. They see, oh, I moved your minimum pay from $15 to $20. Well, when the guy doesn't have a job, you're not helping him. Rather, let him do his work at $15 an hour because these are transitory jobs, absolutely transitory. It will give him that, honestly, that spirit-lifting feeling of actually contributing to society, which you and I experienced at a very young age. And they will get him through or her through a certain stage in their life where they are forced to go on to improve themselves and become valuable to the employer. And then they go up the ladder of success here based on their own efforts rather than, oh, I'm going to give you some money because you're so useless, you can't do it on your own. I mean, the psychological damage that this welfare mentality has is astonishing. And it's so short-sighted that I'm surprised that they would even engage in this kind of thinking. But they do.
Well, and a couple of things, because before you mentioned it, I was thinking about forced minimum wage, which can also be known as the Youth Unemployment Act. Because most times, you know, my first job, I probably should have paid them, but I learned so much there. And so to take away that opportunity through this forced minimum wage really does our kids a disservice. But you mentioned another thing, Jay, that I've thought about, and that is the dignity of saying to another person that you have something of value that I am willing to trade my dollars for. It is a way to give that other person dignity, to uplift them. So let's go over to homeless camps here in Denver, Colorado. You know, it's basically making people pets. We will provide things for you. We will give you food. You'll get health care. And people become, in a way, I mean, I think it's almost like a pet instead of saying that you have dignity. You have value. And I'm not going to just give you something just because of existence. You know, I want to respect you and say that we need to have an exchange. So one of the things is, I think people should clean up after themselves. I think that, you know, the guy sitting on the corner with a sign, instead of sitting there with a sign, let's give everybody a garbage bag, a broom, and a dustpan. And if that corner is the cleanest corner in Denver, I might think about giving that person some money. What do you think? Is that too radical?
No, I think that's reality. I mean, you know, forget about this patina, this appearance of society here. Life is cruel. And if you don't contribute, if you don't better yourself, if you don't know how to run from the saber-toothed tiger, so to speak, or fight the saber-toothed tiger, you're going to die. That's a sad statement of fact, but until people start taking responsibility for their actions, I think that's the first thing you have to do. Take the blame. Who cares? Take the blame, because then you take the responsibility. Then you will take action that's appropriate for your life and appropriate for the freedoms that you really want to experience. Look at the lack of freedom in these people being given these handouts. They're absolute slaves. They choose to be because they think it's easier for them, but in truth, they're putting themselves into slavehood.
Well, and I wanted to look this up. A listener called, and now I don't have the exact numbers on it, but let's see here. It says, I think it was just the other day, Denver City Council approved a $20 million lease for a new homeless shelter in Park Hill. And she had done the numbers on that, and that worked out to, I think it was over $40,000 per homeless person that was going to stay there. And I said, this is not to help the homeless. This is another program where these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties have figured out how to take tax dollars and redistribute it to their cronies. Because I actually, through my church, we'd met at a homeless shelter, and we were supposed to take some surveys. And I talked to the guy, and he's like, you know, they come out and they talk to us, you know, every year and find out what we want to do. They put in a new program, and then nothing gets to us. And I thought that was kind of interesting. So I think we need to make sure that people understand what's really going on here.
Well, yeah, the homeless shelter is nice. There's a building that you take a picture of, and you can have this poor destitute guy in front, and, you know, the image is great. The fact of the matter is that nothing gets done, and this individual is not encouraged, or in the true case sense of living our lives in honesty, he's not forced to go out and fend for himself. He's kept the eternal victim, just as the blacks have been by the Democratic Party for decades. And now I believe the blacks are seeing this victim mentality is not healthy for them, and it's not, and starting to rise up, not the ones that are BLM. That's a whole different world. But the individuals that you and I know, that we work mm-hmm. beside, that we care for, that we truly like as people, regardless of the color of their skin, these people are getting the picture, and they're seeing that they can thrive and succeed. Much as the Asians, who never really took the welfare route that much, have done a phenomenal job of taking all the good that America has to offer and increasing the bounty of their lives and the goodness in their lives. But there's another example where they didn't take the method of the victim. They took the method of what I call the hero. Yeah, they say, okay, I have an issue. I don't have knowledge.
I'm going to educate myself. I'm going to take advantage of that.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. So while you were talking, Jay, I wanted to go back to this piece. This was from the Denver Post. It was reported on August 31st that the Denver City Council approved a 10-year, $20 million lease Monday night for a new homeless shelter, which could and it would host up to 450 people, though it's unclear when it would open. You work that out, that's almost $45,000 per homeless person. You don't think there's big money in being homeless here in Denver? Somebody's making bank on that.
Yeah, that's for sure. I was on the board of Step 13 and got to know Bob Cote very well. Truly a great man, an inspiration to us all. And he would always say it's a hand up, not a hand out. He never took a penny from the federal government. And that's what he taught his guys who were, you know, went from the gutter drinking their lives away to making something out of their lives, which was Bob's own story.
It is his story, and that, I mean, it is an amazing story. And I love the fact that they did not take government money for that program, and it's a super successful program on that. Yeah. So, Jay Davidson, we have just a couple of minutes left, and this Labor Day week, I so appreciate you being with us. But what is the final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners regarding the American idea and capitalism and hard work and opportunity? What's the takeaway?
You know, I think more than any time in my life, and it's quite a few decades, I can say that, experience since the 1950s, I've never seen the war of ideas so stark, so black and white. And if we just look around us, we'll see that, like you said in the opening dialogue, this is not the Democratic Party of JFK. This is the Democratic Party of Trotsky and Lenin and the fascist Adolf Hitler, the one that wants control. It may seem extreme to some people, and I apologize for that, but I think reality needs to set in here. Mm-hmm. And we've been going along with life kind of pretty nice here. I mean, we've had decades of predominantly increasing economic activity and minimal invasion of our privacy and our freedoms and so forth. And now, since around 2008, when the Great Depression hit, the Great Recession hit, we've been steadily and precipitously losing the freedoms that we once enjoyed and took for granted. And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. But every time, folks, you vote for a politician, you are voting to give that person control over your life. That's exactly what you're doing. And if they mistake the point of their candidacy, of their position in government, should they win, then they will use the power of the federal government and bureaucracy to control your life. So I say to you, you vet these people before you vote for them, Republican or Democrat, I don't care. You vet them and you figure out what's in their heart before you vote for them, or find someone else. But we have got to stop this incursion of these far-left individuals into our government and therefore into our lives. We just talked extensively about Governor Polis. I'm sure he's a great guy and a lot of people like him. Great. But he's too far left for me. Oh, he's too much in control and so forth.
Yeah, the policies and, what, over 200 executive orders. So, Jay Davidson, First American State Bank, thank you so much for joining us this Labor Day week. You have a great day.
Thank you, Kim.
And our quote for today is from Ralph Waldo Emerson. He says, America is another name for opportunity. So, my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell